Have you guys ever tried explaining football to a little kid? It's almost impossible to make it make sense. I've got two kids myself, and they're always like, Dad, what's this thing on TV for your work? When can we watch some Paw Patrol? Well, meet Future Fans, an innovative brand that helps little kids become big fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. The way they teach is super unique and effective. As an example, they have this beanbag toss game with four tries to teach downs in football. I tried it with my kids. They love it. And later they connect those games back to the sport itself through a storybook. Seriously, check out the reviews on this thing. They have 4.9 stars on Amazon. Imagine your kid asking to watch on Sundays with you or being right there alongside you for all the ups and downs with your favorite team. That's what dreams are made of right there. And Future Fans exists to make that a reality. If you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. And it's only $49.99 right now. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com to get 10% off and unlock a lifetime of memories starting now. That's $49.99. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. As always, it is Matt Verderam. It is Gilberto Manzano. We are coming to you on Thursday, March 21st, right as March Madness is getting underway. And the NFL's version of March Madness is free agency. That has largely subsided. We saw most of those big names go off the board. A few still coming in. Mike Williams signing earlier this week with the Jets on a one-year deal, for an example. But a lot of those guys now taken care of, and that we know where they're going to be. And we've got 5 weeks from today until the draft, which is up in Motown. That'll be fascinating. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But Gil, first off, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I guess the free agency frenzy is, you know, now in the rear view mirror. But we're quickly into the NFL draft, and man, I was at the pro day for USC, and Caleb Williams, you know, I wouldn't say put on a show, but he brought a giant crowd of GMs and scouts and coaches, and it was kind of like a laid back workout. But when you're going to be the number one pick, I guess who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's been a lot of talk about how he's handled this whole process and everything else. And the reality is, it doesn't matter because the Bears are going to take him number one. So we could sit here and break all that down, but we'd be wasting your time, our time, and everybody else's time, because the reality of it is, unless something crazy happens in the next 5 weeks, he's going to Chicago. He is going to be a Bear. The real question is, at number two, with Washington, who do they take? And we're going to get there in a second, but I wanted to ask you, Gil, before we do that. Now that free agency, I don't want to say it's over, because it's not over, but the most of the big names being gone, who do you think, team-wise, had a really strong free agency period and who had a weak one? Like, who in your eyes really changed their trajectory over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Matt. You know, I actually just wrote a story about it at SI, Most Improved Teams, and, you know, I kind of forgot most of them, so I'm looking at my phone real quick. But I do remember the Giants stood out to me, and, you know, you look at the receiving core, it's pretty bad. So I don't know why, initially, I was thinking, you know, why do I like them so much? It's Most Improved. Well, I really like the Brian Burns trade, you know, with Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau. That's a very good defensive front. But one thing Matt kept screaming about the Giants last year, they wouldn't upgrade the interior offensive line. I'm like, yeah, you have Daniel Jones. You paid him all this money, but can he even operate behind this terrible offensive line? So they spent money there. I really like that from, the New York Giants. And I had him at fifth. I'm trying to remember why. But Drew Lock competition for Daniel Jones, I don't think that really moves the needle. But I really like, Aaron Staney. I can't even pronounce her names. Jermaine Illuminor from the Raiders. So they're not the sexiest names, but to kind of build the front for, you know, whoever the quarterback. I'm not going to guarantee it's going to be Daniel Jones. It could be maybe somebody at number six pick, or maybe they trade up. I did see Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants out there, pro day for Caleb Williams. I doubt they'll get him, but it kind of tells you they're either interested in the wide receivers at USC, or they just want to kind of, you know, see what's out there with the quarterback market. But I really like them. And then, you know, just give you one more against to stick with the NMCs. The Commanders had a whole lot of, you know, signings, but it wasn't like they overspent for, you know, older players. It was more like it's a bad roster. You got to fill holes. You know, Austin Eckler, Dorrance Armstrong, Jeremy Chin, Frankie Louvu, Marcus Mariota, Bobby Wagner. I can't pronounce his name from the Chiefs, the guard, Tyler. There you go. You got it right. And then Tyler Biaz from the Cowboys. I tried that one too. But it's a lot of singles, I guess, in the baseball term to, you know, build that roster.
Yeah, look, I like Washington as far as they got better. Like, I don't think Washington now all of a sudden is just like contender by any stretch of the imagination. But look, they're going to get a quarterback at two. And they have a new coaching staff. They have a new front office. They obviously have no ownership over the last year or so here with Harris coming in to replace Dan Schneider. And so I do think they've made a lot of steps. I like a lot of the guys they've added, even if they're just guys that are going to change the culture there. I mean, you know, look, Bobby Wagner's not going to be there when they're winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, Nick Allegretti, you look at him and you're like, hey, yeah, he's a guy. But, like, Nick Allegretti's won three Super Bowls. The guy's been part of winning. And the guy just played through a torn UCL in the Super Bowl and did it. Like, I mean, Washington needs guys like that. They need guys who are going to go in there and say, hey, look, I've won. Here's my handful of rings. What have you won? Like, this is how this gets done. You know, Dallas, Dorrance Armstrong, you know, coming over, like, it's not that he's won rings, but he's been part of division champs, been part of winners. Like, Washington needs that. So I'm with you there. And I'll also throw out, and I don't love the Mooney signing because I think they paid a lot of money for a guy who hasn't had 500 yards in each of the last 2 years. Atlanta, to me, you have to say they're a winner. Like, Cousins compared to Ritter is like getting Joe Montana. I mean, say whatever you want about Kirk Cousins. He's, when he's healthy, he's a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. And $45 million for 4 years is not crazy money at the quarterback position. It's not. Not these days. So I don't have a problem with that. I know some people said, ah, come on, how could you give them $100 million guaranteed? How could you not if you're Atlanta? Have you seen who they're trotting out there? So I look at him and say, listen, you got him for a couple of years. Draft somebody. Use him as a bridge. Go forward. But I like that Atlanta did that. I think Atlanta, to me, you get an actual shot at winning the division, winning a playoff game. No, they're not San Francisco. They're not one of these upper echelon teams. They're not even Detroit. But like in the NFC, could you make an argument that Atlanta could win a playoff game and at least be competitive in another one? Probably. You probably can. So I don't mind it. On the other side of the coin, you have a team or two that you just didn't like what they did, that you thought they made a, you know, a couple of big mistakes.
Yeah, you know, I can't really, maybe you might have talked about it yesterday, but I wanted to really like the Titans, you know, free agency class. And I think I actually had them in the most improved because they've just been a pretty bad roster. But I just can't get over the Calvin Ridley contract. It's like, you know, why did you overspend for him? But, you know, obviously the same thing with the Jaguars. We probably went over this too last week, but the Gabe Davis signing. And I actually went back to look at the grades that I didn't do, Matt, for the free agency. And I think the only F that you handed out was to Gabe Davis. I didn't give out any F, so I think it was a Gabe Davis one. So, you know, that didn't really work out. But, you know, I want to see what Brian Callahan could do with Calvin Ridley before I'm super critical. Well, I guess I am very critical because he's number one on the rankings that I did for a potential bust for 2024 free agent. So, but I think in the short term it could be a good deal. But I think you and I are in agreement that maybe in a year or two they're going to regret this contract here. So, you know, sometimes the teams that spend a lot of money get in trouble, and especially the bad teams could get, you know, fall into this trap because they have so many holes and needs on the roster. But, you know, they might have overspent too for the center, Lloyd Cushenberry. You know, I think he got a record contract for a center, but he was the best center on the market. So, you know, we got a new coach and maybe the lineman is, you know, with the same thinking with the GM. Maybe it could work out, but I am, you know, I can't figure out if I like, you know, the Titans free agency class. But they did get better because they spent a lot of money also on Tony Pollard and a bunch of other guys. So, but that, it just, I think the splurging is the one that I can't get over.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money. And like, it was a big topic of conversation in Indianapolis that the Titans were going to spend, that they have a ton of cap space, that they know they have to get faster, they've got to get more athletic, they've got to get some playmakers. And they did that. They got Ridley, they got Pollard. You mentioned Lloyd Cushenberry at center. They definitely improved the team in terms of just the roster. But I'm with you. Like, the prices were extreme, especially in the Ridley case. The other two contracts, fine. The Ridley contract was just a disaster, in my opinion. I don't know how you could argue he's worth $23 million a year. He's had one really good year in his career, and he's 29 years old. Look, I'm going to go to a team that also spent a lot, but also, like Washington, just brought in everybody, and that's Carolina. I just don't understand what was going on in Carolina over the last couple of weeks. You spent $150. They wish it was $150. $150 million on two guards, neither one of which you classify as a star. Maybe you'd say they were good players. I think that's about the length of it. Like, Robert Hunt is a good player. But, man, $100 million. Like, what are we talking about? Then they trade Brian Burns, who, like you, I like quite a bit. They trade him for a second and a fifth round pick. And also, by the way, like, why exactly? Like, you had him on the tag, and you trade him away. And it's like you could have gotten two firsts last year for him, but you didn't bother to do that. Then they go out and they pay A'shaun Robinson $22 million. I'm not, like, at this point in his career, like, A'shaun Robinson, I don't know, man. He's going to be 30 in a year. Like, Josie Jewell, I like. He's older, but I do think he's a good player. Dane Jackson, they bring in. They traded out Dante Jackson because they brought in Deontay Johnson, if you can keep all that straight. So, you know, they move on from some vets and Von Bell, Hayden Hurst, Bradley Bozeman at center. It just feels like a whole lot of shuffling guys around and not getting a whole hell of a lot better. Like, if you said to me, okay, the Panthers just spent $250 million. Are they better? I'd say, like, yeah, maybe they're going to win four games now. Like, they're not. Like, when you spend money like that, you better be bringing in the guy. I mean, you better be bringing in a guy who you're like, that dude changes things. Like Cousins in Atlanta. They're better because of him. Like, that team goes from a 7-win team to maybe a 10 or 11-win team because of Kirk Cousins. They do in that division. You know, Tampa Bay spent a lot of money recouping their own guys, but, like, Winfield's a game changer. Evans is a game changer. Mayfield, because of the position he plays, is a game changer. Carolina brought in two guards and then defensively spent a fortune and let Frankie Louvu and Brian Burns go. Like, you just lost your two best defensive players. Why didn't you just pay Brian Burns instead of Robert Hunt? Like, what are you doing? I don't get it. I don't understand what the thought process is. Like, to me, if you're talking about who came in and who left Carolina, the best guy in those two groups left. Like, I look at Carolina as, this is why Carolina. This is why you're going to stink next year and moving forward, because you just don't, you're not adding big-time pieces for big-time prices. You're adding decent pieces at crazy prices. It's like if I went to Arby's and got a roast beef and spent $25. Like, at that point, go to a steakhouse. You know, like, I just don't understand the thought process.
Yeah, I am not a fan of Arby's, so I am with you on that.
Who
one.
Is?
I don't know. I think it's like an East Coast or Midwest thing, because I don't see too many of them out here on the West Coast. But I can never go to an Arby's. But to go off of that, Matt, you know, just to do another, you know, plug for one of my stores. I think it comes out maybe tomorrow, but or Friday. I don't know when. I guess when this will come out. But if it's Friday, I did a story about, you know, teams that need the most work to do on the roster after free agency or the first week of free agency, and I nearly wanted to put for the Panthers the entire offense and, I guess, maybe even quarterback, but we still got to give Bryce Young some time. So
no, we don't.
Okay, I guess not. But wide receiver, I like Deontay Johnson, but you still need a number one guy. He's not a number one wide receiver. I'm sorry about that, Deontay Johnson. They need more help at offensive line. They need some kind of pop at running back, because it's not going to be Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard. So they need a tight end, one that's, you know, reliable. So the entire offense definitely needs help. And then on defense, I'm thinking, oh, okay, they got some nice edge rushers to be rotational pieces, and DJ Wanham, and I'm blanking on the guy from LSU, the first round pick for the Jaguars.
Rotation.
You got it. And I'm like, but this rotation would have been better if they kept Brian Burns to go with Derek Brown.
No kidding.
And you know what, Matt, to kind of throw a question at you, I don't know if you could, you know, give me a good answer here, but I started thinking, like, which NFL roster right now is the 2023 Arizona Cardinals, where we all thought they're going to be terrible. Yeah. They're going to tank.
And they were.
And they were pretty bad. You know, they did a little better than we thought.
They exceeded expectations by having the fourth overall pick, yes.
So I guess what's the team right now? Because I'm starting to feel like it might be the Denver Broncos. They were very quiet because they couldn't spend money because of the Russell Wilson. Yep. And I started looking at the roster, and right now they have Jarrett Stidham as QB1, and they have like the number 12 pick, so they might not even get a good quarterback. So
they're awful.
That looks like a terrible roster right now.
I'm with you. And by the way, so I'm doing a piece that our esteemed editor, John Plume, assigned to me this morning, which was like, hey, look at Denver and Minnesota and the Giants and the Raiders and some teams who need quarterbacks. I'm like, what would it take for them to trade up? Hmm. And I knew that the fact I'm about to say, I knew it, but I forgot about it. And I started looking. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Denver doesn't have a second-round pick. So Denver, good luck trading up, guys. Like, you're going to have to do that by probably trading away next year's first. And that team's done nothing but trade away first-round picks now for the better part of a half decade. So do you really want to do that? Or do you want to take a swing on Bo Nix and kind of wince and close your eyes and hope to God it works out? You said it, man. I think it's Denver. I think that team's – it might still be Carolina, by the way.
Yeah.
But I like Carolina's roster more than I like Denver's roster. Denver is atrocious. Like, I don't even know how you argue that team wins more than four games this year, as they currently sit. I mean, we'll see what happens in the draft. But, like, Stidham is a bottom five quarterback in the NFL, period. Offensively speaking, you're relying on Tim Patrick to come back, who's been hurt and missed all of the last 2 years. Judy's gone. Cortland Sutton is certainly a very nice player, probably the best player on that team outside of Patrick Surtain. But, you know, Cortland Sutton is not Justin Jefferson. I mean, it's like, okay, so you have him, don't love the tight end room. The backs are fine, I guess. The line, you know, I talked about paying Ruth Chris prices at Arby's, like Mike McGlinchey, paid him a fortune. Yeah. He's kind of a guy. Defensively, it's rough. Like, you have Surtain, but you lost Simmons, you lost Josie Jewell. It's bad, man. You know, I'm with you. While you were asking the question, my thought immediately went to Denver. Like, I think there's a real argument to be made with the Broncos that they win like two games. I don't think they'll win that few just because I think Peyton will find a way to win a few more than that. But yeah, they're awful. They're an awful football team.
And then the worst part is that everybody is saying that, I guess, next year's, you know, quarterback class is going to be terrible. So why get the number one pick next year? So there you go, Denver.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things, though. And it goes to the point of, like, when you take as big of a swing as they did with Russell Wilson, you can't miss. You can't miss. And they not only missed. Like, they missed to a historic level. Can't have it happen. It's just, it sets you back so far that you almost have no choice but to reset. And now they have to fully reset. And I don't know that Sean Payton was going there with the idea of having to reset. But that's what's going to happen. We'll see if they make some move in the interim here, if they try to move up and get a quarterback. But again, they have no second-round pick. Like, you're going against teams. The Giants have all their picks. The Raiders have picks. The Vikings have two first-round picks. So, like, you're just in a spot where you're so outgunned in terms of assets that you can give away. You know, let's stick on Denver for 1 second, okay? And by the way, as we're recording this might sound funny in the future because maybe this game ends in a 30-point blowout. Long Beach State beating Arizona. Currently.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Midway through the first half. I can hear my father, who for whatever reason has a hatred of Arizona, just being like, I knew they were frauds. He just always pick them and then they'd lose. So he just grew to hate them. Like, yeah, he's a St. John's fan like I am. But in any event, yeah, it's interesting times at the old LB State Arizona game. Anyway.
Well, let's go, Big West. You know,
look at that. Where, that's right.
Northridge is from.
Yeah. Your conference representing. All right, so with Denver, would you, if you were George Payton, would you trade Patrick Surtain?
Yeah, you have to at this point.
So would I.
You have nothing else to offer. You know, I guess you have no picks. You know, you don't have that much, you know, talent. So Why not? And I know, you know, we're on the topic for Surtain, and it's an easy yes for me. You got to get some, at least a first round pick or something. But why didn't they just, you know, throw a sixth or fifth round pick for Justin Fields to compete with Jarrett Stidham? I don't understand that. You know, I guess they want to keep all their draft picks, but this roster needs a lot of help. And the one way you could do it is by trading your best player. And it sucks, but it might speed up the process.
I don't understand how anybody could argue that they shouldn't trade him. I don't get it. I don't get how you could sit there and say you're better off holding on to him long term. I mean, you're going to have to pay him an absolute fortune. Like, he's going to reset the market a corner, which is fine. He deserves to reset the market. I have no problem paying him that money. But my point is he going to be in his prime when that team's competing for a Super Bowl? I know the NFL turnarounds happen quick. I get it. That is a big lift in Denver. And if I'm Peyton, I'm putting him on the market and saying, all right, two first-round picks, and I would take a first and a second. Yeah. You got to get picks. You've got to turn one great player into two or three good ones. And maybe you get lucky and you get a great one in there as well. Like, you need to do that. And I just don't understand the thought process of holding on to him, as great as he is. And I know he's young and you got to have somebody. I understand all that. You're in a spot, if you're Denver, where you've almost put yourself in the corner here. And I think that he's the one asset you have. It's like when Dallas sucked forever. And as we're doing this podcast, my father just texted me, why did I pick Arizona? So we're really, I know the brand.
Again.
Just annoyed and angry, and we're like two games into March Madness. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think they should trade Surtain. All right, look, let's move on. So let's stay in the AFC for a minute. We've obviously seen the Chiefs now go to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. They've won 3 of them. They're a dynasty, all that. After free agency, now the dust is settled, who do you find yourself thinking is the biggest threat to them in the AFC?
I was just thinking that, Matt, and I can't really find the team. Like, it seems like last year, I guess the one that got, you know, better was the Houston Texans, right? They went to the division around a year ago, and, you know, we got the Bills. Well, I guess you can make a case it got worse, but, you know, I like the Curtis Samuel signing. You know, I think he's better than, at least, you know, as a wide receiver, than Gabe Davis, and it was cheaper, so they'll be around for a bit, but they took a lot of losses with the cap space situation. You know, the Ravens added Derrick Henry, but it doesn't feel like the final piece to beat the Chiefs. Like, if the Ravens play, if they avoid somehow the Chiefs in the postseason with Derrick Henry, yeah, go ahead, go all the way. I just don't see them beating the Chiefs if they meet them again. But the Texans are very intriguing. It's just, it's always that team that, you know, everybody falls in love with, the trending pick, and then the year comes and maybe they flop or they weren't ready to take that next step. But I've heard people compare the Texans to the 21 Bengals, where Joe Burrow had a great rookie year, comes back to go to the Super Bowl. So maybe it could be their time. You know, I like Daniel Hunter. You know, I like the two additions they got from the Tennessee Titans, the Nico Autry and the linebacker.
Al Shazier.
You got Will Anderson Jr. You got Derek Stingley. So a lot of talent on defense on both sides. And Joe Mixon, we'll see if he still has a little pop with the legs there for the running back, a little older now. But he got a 1,000 yards rushing a year ago. So they might be missing maybe one more wide receiver, and they'll be okay. You know, you got Nico Collins and Tank Dell. You resign, you know, and Dalton Schultz. Yep. You got Noah Brown, too. He was very productive when he had to step up. So, you know, they are the team that everybody's kind of picking around, C.J. Stroud and with the good coaches, D'Amico Ryans. And we'll see. It just seems like it's a little too early for them. But, again, a lot of comparisons to the Bengals with Joe Burrow year two.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Look, they're definitely in the mix. I will still go with Cincinnati. I still think Cincinnati is – when they're healthy, they're the only team in the AFC that can sit there right now and say, hey, we can beat the Chiefs. Nobody else can do it. Now, that changes for me if they move off Higgins, if they deal him from the tag. But you still have those guys. Now, Boyd is gone, or at least he's in free agency. I guess he could come back, but right now he's gone. They brought in Zach Moss. They traded Mixon. I'm with you on Houston. I love what Houston did. My only complaint with Houston is, why did you extend Joe Mixon? Like, what was the point of that exactly? That was bizarre to me. I loved everything else they did, but that felt aggressive. Otherwise, felt good. Felt like I thought they did a nice job. But, yeah, I look at – so Cincinnati this offseason, didn't do anything crazy. Like, there weren't any massive moves. I mean, they brought in Sheldon Rankins, who they actually took from Houston, but they lost DJ Reader, so you're kind of swapping out guys. They brought back Von Bell, who the Panthers cut. So they upgraded safety. I just think if Burrow's healthy, they're the biggest threat. They still, to me, they lost Jonah Williams. They brought in Trent Brown. That's the one thing with them that concerns me every year, is I feel like they can't block anybody. But for me right now in the AFC, it's Kansas City on their own tier. It's Cincinnati, and it's Houston. And then after that, and look, I know Baltimore fans are probably screaming. Like, Baltimore and Buffalo are next for me after that. And then after that, please, don't even waste my time. But, like, the rest, like, Miami and Jacksonville.
Can I throw one team at you just to say, if they're all healthy, the New York Jets.
I know what this is going to be. And they're not all going to be healthy because they have an average age of 72. But go ahead.
Yeah, the New York Jets, they just got Mike Williams. I like the Mike Williams addition to go with Garrett Wilson. A year ago, they didn't, like, Alan Lazar wasn't going to do it for them, I feel like. And then they got Tyron Smith. They got, you know, Moses Wright for the right tackle. They got John Simpson, you know, in the guard. So they filled those offensive line spots. It's just a lot of guys that get hurt, right, that you're banking on. And to Mike Williams, like, you know, cover him with the Chargers. Great player, but got hurt a lot.
This is the problem with the Jets. The Jets are going to be that team in training camp that everybody's running around in shorts and T-shirts. We're like, man, I'll tell you what, here come the Jets. And then Tyron Smith is going to be injured because he's always injured. And yeah. Morgan Moses is 33. And Rodgers is 40 coming off an Achilles tear. And Mike Williams on the MetLife turf is like a horror movie. I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, yeah, if everybody's healthy and everybody plays their potential, sure, they're interesting. The problem is Tyron Smith hasn't played more than 13 games in 8 years. 8 years hasn't played more than 13 games. Morgan Moses, 33 years old. He's durable. I'll grant the man that. He is durable. But, like, yeah, I'm not saying they're not a playoff team. Like, you could make an argument they're going to get to the playoffs. But, like, are they really going to go into Buffalo and beat that team in a playoff game? Are they really going to Kansas City and beating them in Arrowhead? I mean, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay wasn't exactly Mr. Clutch in playoff games. So, yeah. I hear you. The talent is there. I have deep reservations about there. All right, let's go to the NFC side real quick. We'll wrap it up. San Francisco got the Super Bowl last year. This offseason, I wouldn't say that they lost anything that you go, oh my goodness, now they're falling back to the pack. Who's the closest team to the Niners, in your opinion? Or do you have a team that even usurped them?
You know what? I do like what the Detroit Lions did. Obviously, they faced them in the NFC title game. I don't know if this is for sure, but I think Cameron Sutton got in trouble. But they added a couple cornerbacks there with Carlton Davis and a few others. So that was the biggest weakness, right? It's kind of in the secondary. And I forget, man. Maybe you can refresh my memory. Maybe they added another edge rusher, but I feel like they need a little more up front. Maybe they could do that in the draft. But when you have Aiden Hutchinson taking the step that he did last year, you have a good start there. You got Leo McNeil in the middle. But it was always that secondary. So, and I really like their safeties too. So they could afford to lose CJ Garner Johnson and went to the Eagles. So, Melifano was one that stood out. Yeah, Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch. There you go. So, and they added the guy from the Raiders who goes to play in the slot, Robinson. So that secondary is pretty good. And they got good coaching. I think the entire coaching staff is back. So I think they'll still be there. But again, it's the NFL. The same teams don't make it to the dance every single year. Just to steal a term for March Madness, but
yeah,
the tournament there. But they seem like the ones that got better. You know, I want to like the Buccaneers, but it looks like the same team. But you're right. These are good players you got to keep, all pros and guys who make an impact on the field. So the 49ers are very quiet, but that's not surprising because of their cap space issues. I want to see what happens with either Brandon Ayuk or maybe Deebo Samuel gets traded, or maybe they make it work somehow. So, you know, I think they're still the top team based on talent, but maybe there's another team that comes to mind to you, but I like the Lions, what they did. And the rest, you know, I don't see the Falcons being a threat, but they're pretty good. You know, obviously, you know, they improved. But other than that, it's a lot of teams that got better, but not on that level just yet of the 49ers.
So I'm with you on the Lions. I won't even expand on that. I love that they brought in Kevin Zeitler, by the way. Just continuing to lean into that offensive line getting better and better. But I'm with you on Detroit, so I have nothing to really add to it. I would say this. We shouldn't forget about Philly. I know that team fell apart down the stretch. I get it. And Kelsey's gone. Still have a great offensive line. They brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson from Detroit. They brought in Bryce Huff. They brought in Saquon Barkley. Like, that team is still really good. And they restructured Sweat, so he's back now. We'll see what happens with Reddick. But, like, they're still a really good football team. Like, I know they fell off a cliff, and there's a lot of questions, and fair questions. But I wouldn't go counting that team out just yet. I still think that team's going to have a lot to say in 2024 in the NFC. All right. What's going on? What's going on in your life? What's happening now that we're technically we're in spring? It's spring today, so it's good news.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm going to try to spend most of the day watching these basketball games, but I got a few stories to catch up on. But I've been wanting to tell you, I think a few weeks back, I found out my brother plays pickleball on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, and I went with him. Me and my partner Caroline went to go play pickleball, and we enjoyed it. We bought some paddles, and now we're trying to play more often. But the tough part is that you can't find pickleball courts, you know, nearby. Like, I, you know, we went the other day and we bought chalk and we kind of wrote the lines there to make sure that, because you can play on the tennis courts, but I feel like you're gonna when you play on the actual court, you're gonna feel like everything's off. It's, you know, too big, or the court, or whatever, the net's too high, too low. So I learned some of the rules, Matt. So it's not an easy sport. It's fun. I want to keep doing it. But I'm guessing for you, you're much better at this point than I am.
Well, nice, man. Nice. Good for you. That's awesome. I play pretty relentlessly. I played 3 hours on Sunday. I played 3 hours a day most days. Not every day, probably like 5 days a week, something like that. Tonight I'll go for a couple hours late. We're fortunate here in Illinois where I live. We have the second biggest pickleball facility in the country, and it's two minutes down the road from my house. So, I'm at this point one of those snobs that, like, I have a membership there and I go and I play. But I'll tell you what, I felt really bad the other day. So I at this point, a lot of times, like, we all have a mixture of, you know, private courts where you just kind of rent it out and you play with some buddies, and then you have open play in the morning. And so I went the other day, and like I do most mornings, I'll do open play, which is a huge range of you know, how good a player is and the ages and, you know, and men, women, all of it, right? So we're there and I'm playing. I'll say the guy's name. But I was playing with a gentleman who's probably in his 60s. Solid player. And I forget the exact sequence, but he hit the ball high up in the air. And if you've ever played pickleball or tennis, you know that, like, if you have a ball like that, you're going to try to smash it and hit it into the ground and win the point there. But I'm like, this guy is, like, in his late 60s, and I don't want to be that guy. So I'm like, but I've got to put the point away. So I'm kind of, as the ball is coming down, I'm like doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to spike this thing basically straight down. Let it go bouncing out of bounds after it hits, you know, inbounds, and we'll get the point that way, and that way it's not, like, too aggressive. I'm halfway through my swing, and this guy, like, moves up very aggressively, and now I'm committed. So now I'm like, all right, I got to hit this ball one way or the other. I'm going to, like, throw my back out. And I drilled this thing, and I hit him in a spot that no man wants to be hit in.
Oh, man.
And, man, to his credit, he was a good sport about it. He was on one knee for a while. I felt so bad. I'm like, what? Why did you move? Like, we get along. I know him. We go to the same gym. I'm like, why did you move? He's like, I thought I could block the ball. Like, I'm like, man, we're not playing for money. Like, just get out of the way. Like, the point's over. Thankfully, he was okay. Thankfully, he didn't have to, get, like, carried out of there or anything. But I felt so bad. The only time I ever hit somebody there in a game, I was like, oh. Like, this poor guy. All he had to do was just stand there. We would have been good. But in any event, no, it's fun. It's fun. It's a fun sport, and yeah. It's a pretty good workout if you play, you know, enough. It's not quite the workout tennis is, because tennis, the court's much bigger. But it's fun. I'm glad you got to enjoy it.
Yeah, my brother kept telling all his buddies, because, you know, I guess they play a lot. It's like, hey, they're first timer, go easy on them. So they never really spiked it. Because my problem was I keep hitting it too high, and I'm like all the way in the back, so obviously you could definitely get me with that move there. But there was one guy who just did not care, so he's just making me, like, you know, don't do that. So every time he would spike it, you know, pretty hard, I'm like, okay, I gotta lower this damn ball. So yeah. I learned my lesson the hard way, but I was not hit, so that's a good point.
That's key. Yeah, just try to keep that bad boy about 6 inches above the net. And like, at first it is very difficult, but then once you get the feel for it, it's a lot easier, and then you start playing more at the net and stuff and whatever. But yeah, it's uh, It's fun. It's fun. I play a lot of the tournaments these days, and it was actually funny because the last two tournaments my doubles partner and I have done, Quinn and I, we went undefeated in both of them until we got to the gold medal match, and we lost in both of them, and one of which was beyond annoying. We lost in like extra points, which was obnoxious. But the point is, so we won two silvers. And afterwards, the tournament, I didn't say committee, but the people who run the facility, they were like, listen, you can't play in this bracket anymore. You got to move up to the next one. And so he couldn't play in the last tournament. I played in a week ago. And I was like, all right, fine. So I moved up and kind of expected to get killed. Ended up winning as many as I lost. Went 500. Finished tied for fourth. I'm like, all right. But it was a lesson, though. And you can get away with certain things at one level that you can't at another. Couple times I was like, oh, I could sneak this ball past this guy, and the rifled back at me 100 miles an hour. I'm like, all right, can't do that anymore. So, you know, listen, yeah, we've all got to improve. That being said, hey, I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's fun, man. I'll have to keep up on your pickleball exploits and see how things are going. All right.
Definitely. You know, he's got to find more courts, but other than that, we'll be good.
Good, man. That's awesome. Well, if you need more courts, come on over. I got a million up down the street.
Yeah, one day I'll be out there.
That's right. All right, hey, thank you everybody for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating and a comment in the area where you can, over on whether it's on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you find the podcast. For Gilberto Manzano, I'm Matt Verderam. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy spring. And we're off next week. We'll be back the following week as we are ramping up for the NFL draft, only 5 weeks away. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.